Blog Talk Radio.
Bang! He stares in the eyes of the man who despises him.
And the day black is my real mother. Said when I came out the womb, my little black sis was raised in the air like bugs. And she was proud, because I was going to take after her and not give it to her.
Welcome to Flight 3D. This is your captain speaking. We ask that you please note the emergency exits and safety signs in the event our journey becomes just too deep.
All right, we're going to get into the language that I like. The Lord is powerful, right?
Superdigger can't put a basketball down. He leaped tall, Superdigger, in a single bound. Superdigger ain't got no degrees, he ain't got no time for that. Street corner, crack houses, projects, his natural habitat. Superdigger got super strength, speed, and agility. So it's understandable when the cops beat him down to the best of their ability. Superdigger has no supervision. Instead, he has super issues. Between 17 and 25 super inches, used to satisfy them super sisters.
Well, they clone little black girls who won't die but fight. Well, they clone little black girls who supplement stamina for endless struggles to write. Well, they clone little black girls like Asada, Sonia, Tubman, knowing what they know. Well, they clone little black girls like Nikki, Zora, Mommy, Grandma. Who orchestrates training?
Ain't nobody got more than us. Aspiring artists spit saliva in their palms, producing hits, making noise with their fists. Lanky limbros with afros break beats and pop lock on dance floors. Made a combo.
Let me talk to you for a second.
Every time I tell somebody I do poetry for a living, they look at me weird. Like they don't believe that it's possible. I tell them that it is. I tell them I don't make my living off giving people reasons to buy a CD. That's crazy. I make my living off giving people reasons to live outside the box, outside the cell block, outside the cubicle. I tell them that a life lived without boundaries is beautiful. I tell them that the body can do whatever the mind chooses to. And I ain't got no illusions or grandeur. I know where my story ends, but yours begins whenever you get ready to move. Want to be a lawyer? Take your ass back to school. You only got a short time on this earth, so while you here, you better find your niche and work on it like your life depends upon it, because tomorrow isn't promised. Failure's not an option. Want to be a dancer? Get it popping. Work your angles like an architect with all your tears, blood, and sweat. Then disregard the people that'll tell you you're crazy, because they too scared or lazy and too complacent to make the necessary changes. This life is about risk. Jumping in with both feet, because the answer could be just beneath the surface, and the timing ain't never gonna be perfect. But only 2% of the people on this planet actually do what they want. 60% of the people on this planet work for them. The other 38% are just too far gone. So you better get in where you fit in while you still can. Otherwise, die wondering what could have been. And when you think about it like that, doing poetry for a living makes perfect sense. It puts me in that 2%. I only answer to God. Program managers can't censor my shit. I'm a prophet that prophesies and profits. No gimmicks. I give it to you the same way God gave it to me. The pen is a pistol. The words are a nightstick. I just beat you over the head till you submit. No blue pill, just red. Here's some water. Swallow this. And this ain't about performing. This is two doses of reality. Call me in the morning. This is word is born. This is you better get your piece of the pie before it's gone. This is one part heart, four parts persistence. Cover the pot and let it simmer. Guess who's coming to dinner? Opportunity's knocking. Better pop the lock and let them enter. This is 2005. You can start a business with an internet connection and a laser printer. No excuses. Get on your mission and consider all this the next time you fix your face to ask me what I do for a living.
Welcome to Industry Mondays, the business of spoken word. This is our special edition show, and we have two special things happening today. Well, we are introducing our new co-host, Nasuni, not your ordinary poet. She's our new co-host. She's going to make the show interesting and live. And we're also welcoming special guest Danny Simmons. And Danny Simmons is he's the big brother to Russell and Reverend Run, or Joseph Simmons is his formal name. And He's also co-founder of the Rush Philanthropic Arts Foundation. He is an abstract artist himself, and he is the one who is responsible for Deaf Poetry Jam. He is executive producer, of the HBO series, and he created it. So we're going to talk today about where visual arts and poetry meet, and is it good business? Is there good business there? So first, we're going to welcome our new co-host, Nasuni, Not Your Ordinary Poet.
Hi, Nasuni. And blessing. Peace. How are you?
Peace. How are you?
Can you hear me very
yes,
well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I got my I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm having a problem with my earpiece, but I'm here. I'm good. I was a little under the weather. But I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm feeling better.
Yes, well, this is definitely the time of year for allergies. It has been horrible.
Yes.
And but I'm glad you're feeling better. Monday we just did a
Thank
short
you.
Show because even I wasn't feeling that good. I had so much post nasal going on.
I understand. I know the feeling. Believe me.
So, yes. So, Nasuni, for our guests, for everyone, please introduce yourself. Let us know who's Nasuni. Everybody wants to know who's Nasuni.
It's Nasuni, and Nasuni is a mother. She is a visual artist. She's a spoken word poet. She's a designer. She's an advocate against domestic violence. She's an event promoter. She's a host. I wear many hats. You know, and soon one day I'm hoping to finish writing this play and have it produced where everybody can enjoy it. But Nasuni is down to earth. So the people who do know me, they know I'm a vibrant person. I have a vibrant personality, and I'm just a people person.
That's great. That's excellent. And so as far as spoken words, since this is about the Industry Mondays and the business of spoken word, you know, what is your experience? And please let us know about your event promoter, about For Friday, Share That With Everybody, and your passion for spoken word.
Well, actually, I started writing. What got me into writing, I had met Nikki Giovanni many years ago when I was a little girl in New York City. And she had encouraged me to never put down the pen, to always write something. And mm-hmm. I didn't get into spoken word actually doing the performance part until 2001. But I've been drawing and sketching ever since I was a little kid. That's in my blood. My great grandfather, my grandfathers were painters. I come from a line of different artists, singers, dancers. So it's in the blood. It's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So I see, just wanted to say, we do have a guest in the chat room, and I'm not sure if our guest wants to, I don't know, for some reason I don't seem to be able to type in to the chat room, but to the guest, I don't know. It's not working
yeah.
for me, but maybe if you could type in and see if our guest wants to say anything, if they're part of the cipher. We're going to open up with a cipher if we had anyone here to fit. But so as far as the business of spoken word, because that's something you do a lot, and you're active with Artists United, and
yes.
Where do you see just like over the years, how do you see spoken word grow? Where do you feel the industry is now, and where do you feel we can go with it? What does the future look like in your opinion?
It has become commercial. I have to say that, and what we don't want is to let it lose its focus, to lose the vision. You know, like hip hop, like a lot of I'm the first generation of hip-hop, and you don't want to see it go in the other direction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You want the art to stay genuine, but you have different generations that's coming in and giving it a new flavor, giving it a new taste. And so it's going to go in another direction, but we still have to try to keep that renaissance, that old school, you know, flavor there when it comes to the poet, like the last poet, and people like Talam AC, who still gives it that flavor, and poets like Shaista, Amun, Mirage, you know, people that still give it that old flair, poets like Katie Morris, you know, and then you have the visual artists. Like, I love all types of art, and I see it growing as far as the next generation and the generation after that. I see it now. I see it in kids at the age of 10. My grandson, who is 7, you know, that's something he's getting into. But it can go far if it's in the right hands.
Well, who do you feel has the hands? Who do you feel are responsible for the hands?
The generation, each generation that comes through it. And it depends on, just like with music, who gets a hold of it and what direction they put it in.
Okay.
Like I said, a lot of it, you don't want it to get so commercial where it loses its foundation. It loses its history.
Now, I like to ask, like, in a sense, I know what you mean by commercial as far as, like where hip-hop went. Hip-hop was a true art form bore out of it. It was birthed as an art form. And then, you know, certain people took it over, saw it was a good business, and
right. They
did what they thought was sellable. And how they can use it to control, and they just pulled out the most
right. Negative
and used it
right. As
you know, a real negative tool. It's been used
okay,
but other than that, where is the because sometimes a lot of people who aren't spoken word artists but who are in business, a lot of times we see when you're an artist, you're still a business unto yourself. And
right. As
a business, you have your own voice and way you communicate. But
right. That
generally should not be aside from good business.
Right.
And a lot of times we see, spoken word artists may not seem like they engage in good business. And a lot of times the reasoning seems to be about coming commercial, like paying for advertising. Like, you know, people don't know you if you don't tell anyone. And just the
mm-hmm. Expectation
that I'm going to be good enough or well enough that enough people are going to say enough about me that without me investing in anything, I'm just going to become known. And so sometimes I have few people that do wonder because they love the art form and they want to share
right. The
art form. But a lot of times it gets hard because a lot of times it seems like a lot of artists equate, you know, business functions with, you know, being commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, not just say that and all, also because I like that whenever you have a business, you define your business.
Right.
When someone doesn't fit through your whatever you use to cipher, you know, good business, or if they don't fit, then you just don't use them. But it should never be set aside from good business principles.
Right.
And I know what makes it commercial is a lot of times, you know, will be certain decisions. You can have an opportunity to maybe go under a major label, but what does that mean?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes maybe going with that label may mean the way they conduct business is going to take your authenticity away and not allow you to create in a manner. So that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still certain things like, you know, promoting yourself, even being with an independent label, if they align with what your vision is,
right. Then
it works. And, you know, we all need a team. But, you know, as a business person, as you speak into a poet, you talk about the commercialism. I know a few people who work around, they always are, and I understand that about definitely you want to keep the authenticity, because that's one thing I work in behalf of. If it's somebody wants to use a poet, but they want to do something, but they won't create an atmosphere that supports it,
right. And
that's the place I say, you know what, that's not worth it. Like, I won't work with a producer that doesn't believe in spoken words. If you just want to produce and it's just a client, but you don't really care for spoken word,
Okay.
I feel the difference with spoken word and rap, a lot of rappers, they get a beat and they write from the beat. Now, of course, music inspires painters and spoken word artists and writers and all. But most of the time, the writer's writing. And then, to me, it's the words that, you know, should create everything around it. You know, the words have their own rhythm, their own flow. It creates images in your mind. And so everything built around it, whether it's music, the production, the promotion, should be built around the message. And so, you know, that's just one thing. But, you know, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, I feel like you're a good business person.
I appreciate that. And what's really funny, I really didn't set out to actually be kind of in the business. It's just something that I love to do. And I found out through promoting my own venues and helping to promote other people's venues that I really enjoy it. And I enjoy hosting as well, hosting the venue, as well as being a spoken word poet and a visual artist who collaborates her work into these venues. You know, so this is something I really enjoy, and this is something I would like. Actually, I have an actual visual picture in my mind and a blueprint of where I want to take it. And how far I want to take it. And I am starting kind of late in life, but, you know, everything is willed by, but I believe anyway, you know, by God, you know, what is meant to be is going to happen. It wasn't meant for me to start this when I was in my 20s. It was meant for me to start this the age that I am now at 47. You know, God willing, soon to be 48. So I see me going further. I already see me growing even more with my artwork as well, with my writing and hosting and promoting. And my vision is large. You know, there's so much I want to do and other people I want to collaborate with. And I love to travel, and I want to travel to other places and work with other people. So I'm looking into the future with a very bright vision.
All right. Well, we can see that's part of the reason that you are successful, because you have a clear vision. And I feel you, but you have a wonderful spirit. People love to work with you, and you're very supportive. And you do, and you have great vision, you know. So I got told you today. I said, I put your CD. It must have been years ago.
It was some years ago. Yes, it was. I forgot all about that.
On Ray Street. 52nd and Race on 52nd Street, the guy that had the poetry thing?
Right.
He did, and I think that's what I did, an event there where Kamika was there. We had Boy Queen in, and
yep.
I think we did the...
I remember.
That's where I first met you, y'all. They'll tell you the years go by and how much stuff you collect. I would probably say, I don't have any CDs. When I pull them all together, I'm like, oh, gosh.
That's funny.
So tell us about your visual art. You know, what type of artist are you? Are you surreal, abstract? You know, what moves you?
You know what, it's really funny. I've worked with different people, and I've had artists from different calibers invite me to showcase my art with theirs. And what I noticed with them, before I get to myself, is like they have signature pieces where when you look at the art, you'll be like, okay, I know this is David Lawrence. Oh, okay, I know this is so-and-so. And with me, I don't have signature pieces. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that with me, I paint whatever comes to mind or whatever comes to heart. And I can have 10 pieces hanging on the wall, and you would think it came from 10 different people. That's how very my vision can be. Now, I am working on a series. And I'm looking forward to bringing that out, hopefully, in January of next year. to look out for.
Okay.
My new beginning.
Now,
my new beginning showcase.
Okay, great. And Suni, I just want to take a break right here because we have a caller from the 323.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, caller. Hi, Danny?
This is Charlie Zero.
I'm sorry, this is who?
This is Charlie Zero.
Okay, how are you, sir?
Okay. I'm sorry?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm just curious. Is this a open mic or did I miss? Is this or no?
Yeah, we opened up with a cipher, but if you would like to sit, you know, definitely say who you are and you know share a piece with us.
Okay. Well, my name is Charlie Zero, and I'm a blogger, and I'm a philosopher and a poet, and I have a piece here if you guys want to hear or something.
All right.
That's it.
All right. It's not your usual type of writing, but yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. This is called The Shapeless Libido, and it goes something like this. The dreamless cosmos resurrects and swastikas below. Ice fog, amoeba clowns dance on negative glow. Zeroth century, creationless dirt, the zombie god's dream. Pope 1837 BC, the plastic android communicators scream. All the channels illuminate obscurity between the dots. Shadows peel away the inside that rots. Dogfish, PSI. Ghosts sweat out lunacy. Abort Christ, abort visions, abort birth, abort feminism. End.
Oh, all right.
That was nice.
That's deep. Yes. You know, it kind of reminds me of Bernard Collins.
Oh, we have to get him on. Now that is a powerful poet and a powerful visual artist.
Yes, yes. And your piece reminds me of, as our, I call him the king of sci-fi poetry.
Yeah.
We have to do a special sci-fi edition of poetry. We have to do a special edition of sci-fi poetry. Yes.
Yeah, I threw in a little bit of, like, sci-fi slash avant-garde slash abstract. I use a lot of that in my writing, and I use a lot of surrealism.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, your words are like a painting, huh?
I'm sorry?
Your words are like a painting.
Yeah. Very.
Hey, that's great. You came over from the speakeasy show?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear about us from the speakeasy cafe?
I'm new at this, so that's why I called and I saw that you guys were on, so I decided, I'll give it a try, you know. So.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna put you on mute to stay around, keep chatting. I can't for some reason type into the chat, but just keep chatting, and we have a caller from the 503 that I'm gonna bring on. Okay.
Okay.
All right, peace. Okay, it takes a minute to come up. Okay, from the 503, how are you?
Oh, hi. I was just listening on the phone. This is Nyla. I'm speaking to Kevin in the chat room. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. I was called in and listened I was listening on the phone. Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
You caught me off guard. I'm sorry. It's been a great show.
No problem.
I jumped over here as soon as mine was over, and I've really enjoyed listening to this. And what she was saying about the signature piece is and all that. Very cool.
Cool.
Great.
So.
Okay, Nyla, I'll mute.
Okay. Thank you.
Nyla?
Yeah?
She said, did you want to share something with us?
Oh, Well, no, you guys know the topic you're talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, but we also
spoken word and visual art, but we're also letting poets who have a piece they would like to share with us. Is there a piece you would like to share?
You know, I was talking to Robbie. I could pull one up real quick. I was talking to Robbie in the chat room when she was talking about the signature pieces and how, you know, someone can, okay, I like this poem, but usually your signature pieces pick you, and it's the piece that people come back for and ask
right.
for you again or talk about. I mean, a poet always has one piece that people remember for one reason or another, and they get requests for it and things like that. And so I think that it's kind of like you can't pick your own nickname. You can't really pick your own signature piece either.
Right. That's kind of the same thing with visual art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost the same.
Yeah. I also work as a photographer. I don't know if you knew that. But there's a lot of times that we incorporate the visual arts aspect of photography in with our poetry and vice versa and how they inspire each other. It's real cool when writers and artists collaborate on something and bring
yes.
it together, bridge that gap. Very cool.
Yes, it is. It tells an even bigger story.
Yeah. The poem that's the one I get asked for the most is called The Muse. And I can read that if you want, or I can just go back to listening and listen to what you guys are talking about on the topic.
No, please share.
Okay. Have you guys ever had a muse?
Say that again?
That was a question. I'm sorry. Have you guys ever had a muse?
Have we ever had one?
Had a muse, yes. Something that muses you.
Yes.
Someone.
Yes,
yeah.
Something that inspires you.
Exactly.
She got me reminiscent. I'm thinking back. I'm like, wait a minute, let me be quiet. Let me think back for a minute. I'm thinking a couple of things.
You know, there's someone you meet, and you're talking about visual arts. You know, there's
yes.
and music is the same way, anything like that. There's something about something that gets under your skin and inspires you. Music is that for me. Visual arts is very stimulating for me as a writer. So you never know where your muse is going to come from. But I had a friend one time ask me, he said, be my muse. And I said, no, muse stories never end well. They're tragic. That's why they're muse stories. And
Nyla,
pardon me?
Nyla, if you could hold for one moment.
I just
want to bring another caller on, and then we want to listen to your piece, the muse, okay? Hold on. Hi, Carla from the 347.
Hi, this is Danny Simmons. I got a
Hello,
message.
Sir.
How are you?
Hi, how are you, sir? How are you?
I'm good. I got a message from Jacqueline saying, where am I? And I thought I was due to be on Monday.
No, to the 22nd. And you got back.
Oh, I am so sorry. When I was reading what was sent to me, it says, Mondays, Industry Mondays. I got it confused.
Yeah, we did this special edition because we had the last two Mondays you were out of town.
Oh, I put it down in my book for this coming Monday. I am so terribly sorry.
That is no problem. That's no problem.
I'm confused from all the traveling, I guess.
Sometimes you have been on the road.
I have been on the road since Labor Day, so I'm finally home. Do you want to do it on Monday? Because I'm still here in town until next Friday, or we could do it now. I don't want to cut into anybody
else.
Oh,
we're here now.
Oh, I'm here now. Late, but here.
Yeah, you're here. Everybody's here waiting. They're waiting for you. You have an audience already.
Well, I have to apologize to anybody who was waiting to listen to me because I got it wrong. But I've made it right.
Yeah, that's no problem.
We have Nyla still on the phone, though. We still have Nyla on the line.
You know what? I would much rather listen to this than read something.
Oh, no. I don't want to cut into your time, dear. That ain't fair.
No, Danny. I want to hear what you have to say, please.
Okay, I want to hear what I got to say, too. Thank you for the question.
Okay, Danny, it would be great, just in case there's somebody in the world who doesn't know who you are, can you please let the world know, the world wants to know, who is Danny Simmons?
God, I guess I'll give you the standard bio. I'm a, first and foremost, I guess I'm a painter and a writer, mostly a painter, but I've written a few books. And secondly, they call me a philanthropist, but that would indicate that I have money, so that's not quite true. So I would probably rather describe myself as an arts advocate and somebody who's involved in furthering the careers of other artists and creating opportunities for artists and children to learn and practice arts. And thirdly, I guess I'm a guy just in the neighborhood who enjoys being in my community and enjoys interacting with people and, you know, and stuff like that. So I guess that's the short version.
Okay.
Well,
in the community, what part of the world do you hail from?
I hail from Queens, but I've lived in Brooklyn, I guess, for probably the last 30 years, and probably best known for around here for, you know, being on a lot of the cultural institutions boards and furthering the cause of artists on large institutions boards. I've been on the Brooklyn Museums board. I've been on the board. I am on the board of the Brooklyn Academy of Music. I'm on the board of this huge and wonderful new park, the Brooklyn Bridge Park. I've been on the board of the Brooklyn Public Library. Recently, I was the chairman of the New York State Council on the Arts. And always my agenda is to make sure that people who are traditionally shut out of the arts and artists are seen and have a voice at the table when the decisions are getting made about where the money goes and what the institution does in relationships to the arts community and the communities of poor people, largely, and making sure that they're present in the thinking of these institutions when they start planning what their agenda is.
Wow, great. So, first I saw, too, that you are an artist yourself, an abstract. So, when did that start?
Well, there's a couple of answers for that. I guess it started when I was a little kid. My mother used to bring home art materials and was teaching me how to paint. But I would figure formally I've been living as an artist entirely for the last 25 years and started creating institutions and art galleries that supported artists who were traditionally shut out of the mainstream art world. So I would say I've been an artist for about 25 years, and I guess about 20 years ago I coined the term that sort of defined the type of abstract art I did, and it was called Neo-African Abstract Expressionism. That's something I came up with because my abstraction is heavily influenced by African culture, and I'm surrounded in my residence with about 1,500 pieces of sculptures and objects from across the breadth of Africa.
Yes, I remember. And another thing, one time when I was at the gallery there, it was a lot of functional art pieces.
There's a lot of functional art pieces, but mostly my collection is defined, and I have a show right up now called House of the Spirit, which is in Madison, Wisconsin. It's defined by ritual magic items, or as the Western world would call them, fetish items, from Congo and from Benin and from Togo, and that's probably two-thirds of my collection, these voodoo items that, for lack of a better term, but these magical items that are all over my house. Some people come in here and feel the energy and decide that they'd rather leave.
Wow.
I mean, if you're bringing some bad vibes in here, the sculptures probably react badly to you. But, I mean, I really live with these objects that have been used in magical rituals and across the continent of Africa, and they help to inform the spirituality that I think that I put inside my abstract paintings.
And that's beautiful. How you doing, Danny? I'm not singing.
Hey, what's up?
I'm co-hosting with Jasmine tonight, and I have to say, I'm a little ashamed to admit it. I've never heard of you until tonight.
Well, that's okay. I've never heard of you either, so we even.
And, you know, as a visual artist, a writer and a visual artist, I wanted to do a little research on you. And I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with your work. I did find the video of your House of Spirit on YouTube, and I was just pulled. It just pulled me. The music alone pulled me. But the energy alone, as the video was going throughout the room, it pulled you. I was very, very, like I said, impressed with your paintings, your other pieces that were in the room, and I've become a new fan.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. You know, you can imagine then if you can feel the energy from a video, what I feel every day when I walk into this place. And the place that you saw, I no longer lived there. That was my loft, and where my Brooklyn gallery is. But I moved into a brownstone, so now I have three levels of these objects. So wherever I go and wherever I turn, there is something there reminding me that there's a connection between human and spirit that needs to be explored.
Is this in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn? Mm-hmm.
I'm not in Clinton Hill anymore. I am now in Crown Heights. I'm not far from the Brooklyn Museum and the Brooklyn Children's Museum.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I got tired of living on one level, and I saw a house that really attracted me, and it had all the details, and I could just see my collection in there. And so, you know, I bought the house basically to house my collection, and myself too, but, you know, the collection mostly.
Well, I did want to share with you, Danny, Nasuni is a poet, as well as a visual artist and event promoter. She wears many hats, but she's a wonderful visual artist, and she's one of our resident poets, and she's very supportive of artists, and she really, you know, works at, you know, helping artists and helping the arts community. So that's why
my second book of poetry is about to come out. As a matter of fact, my writing mostly is poetry. I've written a novel, and I wrote a book on deaf poetry, which is, you know, I created and passed it along to Russell to have it, make sure we got a TV show out of it and a Broadway play, which came later. But my father was a poet, and I picked that up from him. My mother was an amateur painter, and I picked that up from her. And ran with both of those things. But poetry is a very important part of my life. And, you know, my first book of poetry titled I Dream My People Was Calling But Couldn't Find My Way Home is a compilation book of my poetry and my paintings. And I had that with me in Madison also, and I read some poetry there. And I'm going to be back in Madison at the University of Wisconsin where they're having a ceremony for me and Sonia Sanchez for our contribution to poetry.
Okay. All righty, you and Sonia. Yes.
Me and Sonia, I'm in good company. For
yes,
real.
You are. She is one beautiful lady. I met her several times, and her energy alone will just leave you standing there. You won't even move half the time. You would have to be told, okay, it's time to move on now. It's time to go. But she's a very beautiful. No, seriously. I mean, I was honored. I did a piece in honor of Nikki Giovanni last summer, and when I got off the stage, she grabbed my arm, and I was like, okay. I felt like a little kid. I'm like, okay, I'm not moving. She grabbed, you know, Sonia Sanchez, you know, grabbed my arm, and everybody was running to her, and she wouldn't let go. I said, okay, I'm not trying to move.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, and as soon as they left, she turned to me and, you know, told me how much she really enjoyed my piece. And that meant so much to me. I'm telling you, I felt like a little four-year-old kid. Here I am, a grown woman in my 40s, and I felt like this little kid, you know. And she's just a beautiful soul. She has a beautiful spirit. I love her dearly.
I have a great story about Sonia. When I first was pitching deaf poetry, and Russell flew in the guy who direct deaf comedy, Stan Lathan, and we put on a showcase for a lot of people, but mostly for Stan Lathan to see what it was, because nobody in that world really had any idea what spoken word poetry was. And we put Sonia Sanchez on the stage. And Stan Lathan, who ended up directing Deaf Poetry, heard Sonia Sanchez do a poem and started crying, and he said, I'm in.
Mm.
So, you know, Sonia indirectly was the reason that a lot of this stuff got done. Her beautiful poetry really set the tone for what Deaf Poetry was all about.
Beautiful. Wow. That's great. Well, she is a beautiful spirit, and she's all over, running to her at a scene. I've taken classes over on Broad Street called North of the Arts, where, you know, our side of the Avenue of the Arts. And she's just, you know, she grew out. She was a resident artist at Art Sanctuary for a while.
She's amazing. She's a small woman in stature, but fills up a real big room.
She's totally amazing.
So, Danny, the one thing we figured you would be a good expert on, this is Industry Monday, which is the business of spoken word. So, from the business sense, what opportunities you feel exist where visual arts and poetry meet?
You know, and you know, I read that, and I gave it some thought. It's really a struggle for most visual artists and poets to try to make a living out of it, and especially if you're dependent upon other people to promote and produce and showcase your work. I think that the greatest opportunities in the arts are ones that you create yourself. I mean, years ago, when I couldn't find anybody to really promote artists of color, I went and decided to start doing it myself. And along with promoting others, I promoted myself and built a career on promoting others and promoting myself. And I really think that, you know, we really need to become more self-reliant. I was lucky enough to have a couple of my books published by major book companies and my poetry book published by another great poet, Jessica Care Moore, on More Black Press. But this book I decided I was going to create and promote and publish on my own, because I think that whatever somebody else can do for you, you can do for yourself, and nobody can promote you as well as you can promote yourself. I think that any place you can set up a venue to promote your art and your poetry, you can do so, and I think that people will pay for that. And I think that really what's really missing in our community is people doing grassroots performances and art shows. I think that art salons in people's houses and poetry salons in people's houses and community centers really delve into an audience that doesn't really go to large cultural institutions or formal places, but will come to their local community center or will stop by somebody's house and listen to that sort of thing. And you can sell your books, you can sell your paintings if they're at a reasonable price point for people to guide. And also it's an educational opportunity for people who don't really get to see those sort of things, because they're not really presented, other than if we don't present them ourselves. So I think we need to really take control over our culture and take control over how we put ourselves out there to really get the message out of what art and culture is from our standpoints as poets and writers.
All right.
That's the answer I came up with.
I totally agree with that. Going back what I was saying earlier, Jacqueline, about how, you know, going commercial with stuff and not going back to the roots of where it started, like he was saying, like doing stuff out of the home. If you remember, like a couple years ago, where when I was trying to come out with my artwork, and at the time, no one knew that I was a visual artist. They knew me basically only as a poet. And when you came out, that was my one-woman show. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do my own art exhibit. I'm going to represent myself. And that's what I did. You know, and I had people come out, and I was amazed at the amount of people that did come out and support, you know, visual artists, as well as verbal artists who came out and sung, and it was a beautiful event. I was so overwhelmed, but I totally agree with that. Sometimes you have to do that. In order to get out there, you have to promote yourself in other ways. You can't sit back and wait for somebody to, you know, find you. You know, you have to put it out there.
And also, and there's only one reason why you had such a great turnout is another thing that Danny said. You support other artists. You know, that at first when we were up on in West Philly at the place, I didn't at first remember where I knew you from.
Okay.
But all I knew, this is the woman that comes in here and supports us every week.
That goes a long way.
And it was like, I mean, SUNY's having an event. I think we had two events, and we had to do some juggling. But the first event, my artist had an opportunity to showcase, but I told them, well, we have to go to next month because I have to attend that SUNY's event because he's always supported us.
And you guys made me cry. And I was like a little wimp up there on the mic because all these people who I did not expect to come out to support came. And I was so overwhelmed.
But she's there. She doesn't just come out. She tell people, come to this event. She shares information, you know, which people don't understand how important that is. You know,
that's very important. See, and Tim, you have a lot of what the problem is, I find out with today with artists. And this goes with visual artists and spoken word poets and in every genre. You have cliques and you have people who don't want to share information because they're afraid you're going to get there before them. And we need to stop that nonsense. You know, we're supposed to pull together and help each other and, you know, and work together and give each other resources or whatever can help each other. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. You know, naturally, and that's what, you know, we as artists should do. It's not the reality of it because a lot of us don't do that. A lot of us don't want to share information. A lot of us don't want to help, you know, others to get ahead, you know, and that's the sad thing about it.
Well, I've always found that helping others helps myself even more than if I just went out there and tried to do my own thing, that we have strength in numbers, and sharing of information doesn't necessarily deplete the resources. You actually create more resources when more people are. So, you know, I think it's a false assumption. You know, nobody gets anything done in a vacuum.
Right.
Yeah. And you can't receive anything with a closed hand. But as a community, it's something that we need to learn. And, you know, and that's why Nasuni's a new co-host. And, you know, because, you know, we have a like thinking and that we support one another. I mean, if you want to take somebody, Danny came out. We did a workshop production of a piece called From Ancient to Hip Hop, where we showcased a lot of spoken words. And it was a concept came up by Z, and she incorporated a lot of different artists' spoken words. And we did a showcase up in New York at the National Black Theater, and he came out because we invited him. And, and you know, and that means a lot. So those types of things, and in our community, so we just, if we focus on the positive, continue to help one another, we start to attract that type of energy.
That's true. I mean, you know, that's what I've always found, that once you start incorporating other people, the word gets out further, it gets out to more people come. And, you know, it's an endorsement when you have more people put behind something, you know. People like to know to go to things that they think other people want to go to. It's just human nature. And so, you know, it's best to include people in your thing because your thing can only get better.
That's true. So, this has been wonderful, Danny. You've been a great guest. We had several people on and in the chat room.
Okay.
And,
I am so sorry that I missed the cue and I was, you know, but I made up for it, I think.
Yes, you did.
Oh, you did.
Yes,
okay.
You did. Yes, you did. It's an honor meeting you.
So,
well, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it greatly.
Well, what I like to do before as we close out, I'm going to need you to type for me, Nasuni. For some reason, I can't get into my chat.
Okay.
I can't type into it. But I would like for first, Miss Sunni, if you let us know what you have coming up next, and if you have a link, and then Danny, if you can let us know how can people contact you, how can we reach you, what you know, what's the next event happening, and you know, if we could do that to close out. So we'll start with ladies first. We'll start with you, Miss Sunni.
Okay. Well, tomorrow is our Fourth Friday's Artistic Expression. We are actually holding it this time in an art gallery. It's a small art gallery in West Philadelphia called the Poets Art Gallery. And they have they hold several different venues. Mine will be there tomorrow. We actually interview our feature artists and their performance. It's a beautiful show. We're going to have food, hors d'oeuvres, open mic, and we're just going to be doing our thing and standing around listening and looking at great artwork on the wall.
All right, and art is for sale too, right?
Yes, and the art is for sale.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes.
Yes. And how can people follow up with you, Sunni? How do they reach you?
They can reach me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on MySpace. I know people like MySpace. I still have my spoken word pieces on MySpace. I'm on Facebook. Just type in Natsumi, NASSUNNI. All my pages will come up. They can email me. They can text me. My cell number is listed on there. So there's several different ways they can reach me. They can Google my name, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up.
Okay.
And you, sir, you, Danny, what's, how can people reach you, and what's next on the horizon?
Well, I'm on Facebook, too, recently. I've been on Facebook for about 8 or 9 months. And so I post a lot of information about what's coming up. My next stuff, unfortunately, is going to be in Detroit. I have a solo show at Wayne Ford College of Monoprints I just produced. And that's on the 29th. And then I'm having a book release party on the 13th, I believe, at Rush Arts Gallery in Chelsea. And then I'm back on the 20th of October to Madison, Wisconsin, to be with Sonia Sanchez. And actually, it's going to be a reunion of deaf poetry, so we're going to have Black Ice and Maida DeValier and a couple of other deaf poets, and they're all going to be there, and Jessica Caremore. And after that, we're having a fundraiser for my art galleries, and that's yet to be determined, but that's going to be towards the end of October also. And a whole bunch of stuff in between, so I'm not quite sure what it all is. But, you know, I have an email address. It's ddsimmonsjr@gmail.com. And Junior is JR, so it's 2dsimmonsjr@gmail.com. So people can get in touch with me that way, or just hit me on Facebook, you know, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. I will definitely do that. So when you see Natsumi, Not Your Ordinary Poet, you know that's me.
I will know that's you. I won't forget this time.
And they both are members of the Master Griot MBBTA radio group. So you go on Facebook and you just type in Master Griot and you can join our group. That's where we can continue conversations. And I thank both of you. I am so glad to have a co-host.
Well, I really thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad I've been on it.
I love to create platforms, but I like to create platforms so artists can do. I love the arts, but I couldn't draw a straight line with a ruler.
That's okay.
And I do write a little bit, but I'm a little stage fright. So I just love to create opportunities and platforms where I can indulge my life in art. And I thank you both.
Okay.
Very enlightening, and you know, our goal here is to help create a viable industry for spoken word. I think, you know, I envision so many various different things, and you know, right now we're at the point of, you know, changing people's linear perceptions of spoken words, so that they don't think it's just one thing or it can only fit one place,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be very, you know, diverse and I have a piece that's going to, called Spoken Perceptions, if you go on there, Master Griot Radio. But spoken word can fit anywhere. So we're only limited by our imagination.
Yes.
So this is what we close out with, and I'll play a piece on our way out. But this is the question, Danny, and this is for you. You got 30 seconds and the whole world listening. What do you have to say?
Well, what I have to say is please come out, support artists, support art, and try to be creative yourself. I mean, there's so much inside of each and every one of us that needs to come out, that we need to share with other human beings, and the art is the best way. Arts and culture define who our people are, and so during that we need to do that and create stuff that tells the world who we are and what we are, and don't let other people define us.
There you go.
Wow. All
right,
right,
y'all. Have a wonderful evening. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every time I tell somebody I do poetry for a living, they look at me weird. Like they don't believe that it's possible. I tell them that it is. I tell them I don't make my living off giving people reasons to buy a CD. That's crazy. I make my living off giving people reasons to live outside the box, outside the cell block, outside the cubicle. I tell them that a life lived without boundaries is beautiful. I tell them that the body can do whatever the mind chooses to. And I ain't got no illusions of grandeur. I know where my story ends, but yours begins whenever you get ready to move. Want to be a lawyer? Take your ass back to school. You only got a short time on this earth, so while you here, you better find your niche and work on it like your life depends upon it, because tomorrow isn't promised. Failure's not an option. Want to be a dancer? Get it popping. Work your angles like an architect with all your tears, blood, and sweat. Then disregard the people that'll tell you you're crazy, cause they too scared or lazy and too complacent to make the necessary changes. This life is about risk, jumping in with both feet, cause the answer could be just beneath the surface, and the timing ain't never gonna be perfect. But only 2% of the people on this planet actually do what they want. 60% of the people on this planet work for them. The other 38% are just too far gone. So you better get in where you fit in while you still can. Otherwise, die wondering what could have been. And when you think about it like that, doing poetry for a living makes perfect sense. It puts me in that 2%. I only answer to God. Program managers can't censor my shit. I'm a prophet that prophesies and profits. No gimmicks. I give it to you the same way God gave it to me. The pen is a pistol. The words are a nightstick. I just beat you over the head till you submit. No blue pill, just red. Here's some water. Swallow this. And this ain't about performing. This is 2 doses of reality. Call me in the morning. This is word is born. This is you better get your piece of the pie before it's gone. This is 1 part heart, 4 parts persistence. Cover the pot and let it simmer. Guess who's coming to dinner? Opportunities knocking. Better pop the lock and let them enter. This is 2005. You can start a business with an internet connection and a laser printer. No excuses. Get on your mission and consider all this the next time you fix your face to ask me what I do for a living.